didn't notice that the lights had changed. Now we've had, that was the Beatles, and now we have Mayor Stephanie Rawlings-Blake. Our mayor, we're about to give her State of the City address today. Mayor Stephanie Rawlings-Blake, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Good to have, good to be here.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good.
I know that the news just came over the Sun about the passing of Willard Hackerman, which is just a shock.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it just popped up on the breaking news on the Sun.
Oh, my condolences to his family and to everyone around him. I know his daughter very well.
He has been such a tremendous supporter of the work that we're doing around youth employment and making homelessness rare and brief, and just a staple in the Baltimore business and philanthropic community. It's just taken aback when I just saw that over the...
Oh, me too. I know him a little, but Nancy Hackerman, his daughter, is also a great civil activist in our community and does great things for our community. I will call her and give her my condolences, and this is over today. Sorry to hear that. Thanks for telling us.
Yeah, well, I mean, that is on my mind. And also, you know, I'm preparing to give my State of the City address. It gives me a chance about some of the accomplishments that we've made, also how we're tackling some of the challenges that we've faced over the past year as well, and you know, what is in store for the future.
So can you talk a bit about what you're going to say today in the council? I saw a little of what you're going to say from your press office, but tell us a bit about what the major issues are that you want to lay out on today's speech.
I spent a significant amount of time on our effort to reduce violent crime. So I'm going to talk about that. The largest part of my speech will be talking about the work that we're doing to continue to tamp down violent crime, particularly the homicides. You know, it is one of those things that I often say, you don't get a do-over. You know, there's so many things that we do in life and in government where if you make a mistake, you can fix it. But when a life is lost, you don't get that back. And that's why this work is so critically important, and it's not just how that we do it, it's how we do it. And I'm determined to find a way to bring down the homicide rate while creating better partnerships with our community.
So I noticed that in the course of what the speech you're going to give today, you're going to mention expanding Operation Ceasefire in Baltimore, to Baltimore, bringing it to Baltimore. I was wondering, does that mean that when you do Operation Ceasefire, I mean, tell me how that's going to work in the city. We've had, we've covered that issue a lot over the years, that particular Operation Ceasefire. And David Kennedy was a guest on the show numerous times, especially when Mayor O'Malley, when Governor O'Malley was mayor. Do you plan to bring him in? What are your plans?
Yeah, definitely. We've had meetings with him and his team. And I've also had very in-depth conversations with other mayors around the city who have worked with David Kennedy and Operation Ceasefire and have seen a significant reduction in homicide. And I think that we have a great opportunity here in Baltimore using Operation Ceasefire to supplement and intensify the work that we are doing, focusing on our most violent offenders. We have a strategy that we know worked. You know, when we were able to get the homicide rate down to the lowest, it's been a decade. In 2011, it was because we focused on the most violent offenders. And with Operation Ceasefire, we're finding new ways to double down on that strategy and enhance that strategy. And it's worked in other places, and I'm looking forward to introducing it to Baltimore.
Yeah, Matt, just for our listeners to know, I mean, this is a policy that brings together ministers, community leaders, and the police and others to sit with the most violent folks in the community and say, we know who you are, and we can either help you or we can get rid of you.
That's,
well, right?
We say it a little bit more tactfully.
I'm sure you do, but I'm not as tactful as you are.
I mean, the thing is, in order to tamp down violent crime in the city, it takes a serious, coordinated effort, and that's what Ceasefire is. It's the Baltimore Police Department, State Police, FBI, ATF, Motor Vehicle Administration, Housing, Corrections, Parole, Probation. Everybody lockstep, making sure that people know that the violence in our communities has to stop, and that definitely with the community members there saying, if you are interested in turning your life around, We are interested in helping you. But if you are interested in continuing the bad decisions and the bad acts in our community, that you're going down as, and you and your friends.
So let me ask this question regarding that before you have to go, because I've been getting so many emails back and forth when Miss Leto was murdered by two young teenagers in Highlandtown. It's caused on Facebook and on Twitter and other places this huge debate over and some of it involves around racing, and people only care because she was white with all the black people who died. And nobody talks about them, A, and B, that people calling for Commissioner Batts's head. But it's created this huge kind of debate and disagreement in our community. What would you say to citizens about that?
Well, I think while it's interesting on Facebook and Twitter, it's unproductive to spend time assigning blame. I think we all have a role, and if we could focus on what we could do, I mean, I get complaining. I understand it. It's cathartic, but it's not helpful. If we could use that same energy and try to figure out what can I do to be a part of the solution, to me, that's how we're going to build a better Baltimore, not by playing the blame game. I think it is not how we build a better Baltimore or the way that we build one Baltimore. You know, I think every single life is precious, and I think the more that we spend time giving, giving airtime and energy to this debate about, you know, if we should care more if it was a white person or a black person, that's not helpful. You know, we know that we have too much. We have lost too many people in the city of Baltimore, and they're of all races, and we need to do better altogether to have a safer city. And I firmly believe, you know, that we have to be able, everybody has to be able to look at themselves in the morning and say, what have I done to be a part of the solution? And if hit and send on a tweet is complaining is your part, you have to ask yourself, how is that being effective? There's so many more things you can do, whether it's joining the CRCs in your police district, going on a COP walk, you know, starting your own community, community walk, police walk. Those are the types of things. If you see something in your community that looks suspicious, saying something, these are the types of things that will help us get to a safer city.
And before you have to go, man, I know you have many other kind of media stops to make here this morning. One of the things I read that you're going to announce is the expansion of the Watch Center. Now, a lot of people, especially civil libertarians, who are going to, this is going to cause an uproar. The question is, it used to be used just for large-scale events to monitor places they thought crimes were taking place. But to have every community across the city being watched 24/7, is that?
I think it's important to enhance the way that we collect intelligence so we're able to respond in real time. That's what our communities expect. Everyone knows that there's no way that we can have a police officer on every corner in every block, but they do expect us to use the resources, the technology that is available to us to maximize the opportunities for safety, and that's what we intend to do. Not only are we expanding the use of the cameras, we're also intensifying the way it's being used by assigning a commander to the Watch Center to help us deploy officers in a different way to respond. You know, we have to observe, and we have to turn those observations into actionable intelligence, and that's what we're doing with the Watch Center.
I mean, you can see how some people are going to look at this and worry about people's rights being watched all the time, and is our crime that bad we have to watch everybody all the time by Watch Centers? I mean, that's a huge step to make, I think.
The city is not, you're not going to wake up tomorrow and the city is going to be blanketed with cameras. We are focusing on the areas where we know we've had problems. And I think if we have tools in the toolbox that we can use to create a safer community, we should use them. And if we have ways that we can enhance public safety for our communities, as well as be assistance, be a help to our officers that are on the street, we should use those tools.
And finally, Meredith, I'm going to have to run. I'm looking forward to hearing the entire speech this evening and reading it. There was some pieces going back and forth in the Sun over development and the things that some of your fellow mayors, like Mayor de Blasio in New York, are doing, which is requiring developers to build more affordable housing, and in places in Washington, they're arguing about a $15 minimum wage, and we're debating minimum wage in the State House now. What are your thoughts about what Baltimore can learn from those other mayors and municipalities, if anything?
I think that there's something to learn from every mayor. That's why I get excited about the work that I do with the Conference of Mayors. But there's also a lot that other mayors learn from us. Our virtual supermarket program, which addressed food deserts in our communities, which we're about to relaunch, is being replicated in Camden, New Jersey, and another city in the Northeast, with other cities looking to replicate that same program. Our Vacant to Value Blight Elimination Plan has been internationally recognized as a innovative approach to blight elimination in urban areas. So, you know, I think we can all learn from each other. And, you know, part of the work that I'm doing with the Vacant to Value Initiative is to work to try to get more affordable housing in our communities. And I'll continue to do that.
Well, Mayor Stephanie Rawlings-Blake, good luck with the speech today. We look forward to having you on here for a lengthy discussion for an hour between you and our citizens. And again, good luck with the speech today, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much. Take care.